Go ahead. Hello.
There you are.
Hello.
He was,
yes, sir.
He was just saying that before we did anything on the meet, he wanted to have a chance to talk with you, and I made some notes on what he said, but I wasn't sure who was in with you, so I thought...
Yeah, I'm in there with Mr. Ball and Bundy them now.
A.W., you want to go ahead and say anything about it?
Is it all right for me too now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. I hate to see you. I talked to Jay Taylor the other day, and he called Walter. Now, I think y'all have missed the point on these cattle, because here you are, the first president in my lifetime has ever given them about what happened to cattlemen. And here's where I think you can be a good approach to it. I've got figures here that show that that meat jobber, I'm not talking about the tracker, he doesn't make any money, and the feeder doesn't make any money, but the meat jobber and the guy who cuts it up, that they make about $125 carcass out of these cheap carcasses, where when they were bringing $6-$7 a hundred more on the hoof, they made $75 carcass, and they were making good money. Now, it looks to me like say this. I'm gonna appoint me a fact-finding commission. If one bunch says meat imports hurt, the other bunch says it doesn't. I want the truth. I'm going back to your philosophy.
We've already got that. We've got jurisdiction that by law and tariff commission.
I want to go back to your philosophy of what's good for the country. And say now I want somebody to go out here and find me the facts. And find out why, on cheap cattle prices, the housewife doesn't get the advantage of it. Because if she did get the advantage of it, she'd like to feed her family good meat, cheap meat. And if she did, well then the problem would solve itself, because it increased the demand. The way we are, these jobbers and the meat cutters, they sit back laughing at us. We're arguing about imports and arguing among ourselves, and hell, they're going to make a big profit on it regardless. And I think there's a whole lot more meat eaters than there are meat cutters or jobbers. And just take that number one, number two. Number one is, I want to know why cattle prices are so cheap and why the consumer doesn't get the benefit of it. But if you did, I think you'd buy more meat than problem would solve itself. But in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and see if I can work out something to freeze this import situation until I do find out the facts. It looks to me like that's good with everybody. But it's what's good and right. And, I just want to pass that on.
Okay, well, you type it up and take it up with them and we'll look into that jobber thing. I don't know. I don't have any facts on it. I don't know.
If you said you had some statistics, right. A.W., mail them to me, will you?
I'll give it to you, but I think you just take out a blue ribbon commission to these guys if they're rich and haven't got anything else to do. Now these feeders, now these raisers, and just say, now you go give me the facts. That way, be sure they're, just tell them that you'd be sure they're supported by evidence. You do think it's right. But it should be, somebody ought to be smart enough to dig up enough to where it can be resolved as to who hits them and who isn't. And, when you approach it from the two ends of it, why are the cattlemen getting any more for this stuff? Why is the housewife getting the benefit of it? Well, looks to me like you got the both sides covered.
That's good.
I appreciate you listening.
Okay, now what are the facts again on the jobber? And where do you get those facts?
I got them the same place, Kansas City Stockyards, and I got those other things about the import that they make. When the packer loses, there on they've been making $125 a carcass, where when cattle prices were pretty decent, they made $75 a carcass. $75 a carcass is enough for them to make. I think it would be astounding if took a fat steer and went to and butchered him and weighed him, and then cut him up into the different cuts of ground meats that are sold in some chain store there in Washington, and put the prices that they get for it. They can tell you this, the difference between what the producer got for him and what he finally bought. Of course, the producer's got a pretty good sized investment. He's got land and labor and all that involved in his. The feeder, he's got feed and labor involved in his. The tractor, he's got a hell of an investment in his packing plant. He's got to pay union wages. But these other guys up the road,
well, who are they now?
That's the jobber and the meat cutter and the distributor. What they got invested to get that kind of return out of one of them. They make more out of
them. Are there three people there?
Well, it can be, of course, after you leave the packer, you can go several routes. The packer can go direct to the retailer, and then the retailer makes it all by cutting it up and selling it. Or it can go from the packer to a jobber, turn makes a profit, and then he turns it to the retailer. Or there are some situations, I imagine, where it goes from packer to one size jobber, and then to a smaller size jobber, and then to the retailer.
Wonder if Esther Peterson ought not to look into that in her new capacity.
Well,
no, she's the other way.
They all sit back laughing at us, the guys up the road, because all through the years when meat got high, the fellow that got cussed for it was ranchers. Well, hell, this 3 or 4 cents a pound we're talking about.
How's the retail price different now than what it did a year ago?
Not at all, basically. Not at all. They don't change the prices in the cafes.
It's $3.75 on your
line wage.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's reflected in the retail.
No, but I mean on your fat, it's $3.75 a hundred lower. Now, what is it on your grass stuff?
Oh, that's worse than that.
From what in the last 12 months? 8 cents?
Yeah.
Why is the difference between 4 and 8 on fat and grass?
Well, I don't know any larger.
Well, you take that up with Freeman and let them talk on it and see what they can do. And I think we'll just leave this other as it is for a while.
I'm sure I'd see you make people go ahead and freeze it.
Well, I think you'll just get a lot of hell from all of them. They'll say it's not enough.
Well, I'm not. I say let's get something and work on the rest. And I told Jay Taylor that this morning. Well, we take our time to do it. And someone says, I ain't got anything to sell right now. I won't have to sell anything this fall. And I said, well, gee, that just shows how ignorant they are. Hell, they'll have us flooded in the fall. That's the kind of people you deal with.
I get it, though. He doesn't want, doesn't care. I talked to him today, told him that's what we're going to do. We'll just leave it where it was.
Well, if you get the time, we should think about this.
I will.
All right, sir.
Thank you a lot.
We'll see you at AW.